Good morning, everybody. It is so I am so delighted to be back. I tell you, if y'all don't know, y'all are an incredible group of people. Y'all are wonderful. Y'all know that? You're wonderful. And you're handsome, and you're pretty, and you're smart, and you're wise. You're the best congregation possible. I'm just glad to be back. I can't tell y'all just what that time, years ago when I watched some other pastors kind of hit the wall and some things happened, you know, and so I kept trying to figure out how do you kind of not fall in that kind of hole and let stuff happen and all not to be happening, and you know, and so I started watching some pastors as they would take some time, and so that became a model for me to take 6 weeks during the summer. And that has just been a lifesaver for me. I can't tell you, because you know how it is. We all run fast. And the faster you run, the shallower you get. And you just have to stop sometime and do what Jesus did and just get away and pray and fast and eat right and start juicing and start doing smoothies and lose 25 pounds. And got 20 more to go, but I started. And then... Yeah, and get on a good exercise, you know, routine, and it just takes time. When Jesus said, you know, I've got to go, and set myself apart. You know, what he could have added there is, I'm going to set myself apart before I come apart. And so, I want you to know that I thank you from our family for letting that happen. But didn't everybody that spoke did such a good job? You know, part of what I do is just reflect, you know, and spend a good bit of time reflecting, reading, studying, and you'd be surprised at how much alone time I actually spend. But when I reflect on the depth that we have and what came off of this stage those last 6 weeks, I'm telling you, that's a gift. That's a yay God gift. I mean, did anybody cry last week? But Eddie? Good night. Was that awesome? I mean, just the whole thing was great. Did y'all hear about the cat and the rat that died and went to heaven? Hadn't heard about that one yet? Yeah, St. Peter, after a few weeks, went by and, you know, talked to the rat and said, "How's it going?" He said, "It's going great. I'm just having a wonderful time." He said, "I just wonder if I could get some skates." He said, "Sure." So St. Peter went and got him some skates and gave them to the rat, and so he skated on off. A few weeks later, he saw the cat. He said to the cat, "How's it going?" He said, "It's going really good. It's going great. The moment I thought it couldn't get any better up here, I discovered the Meals on Wheels." All right. Some years ago, we did a series on living life from a rhythm perspective, as opposed from a balance perspective. All my life, I'd heard balance your life. And then when I got a hold of Bruce Miller's book, and he was talking about balance is static. You really can't accomplish balance when you live life, because you have times where it is just full throttle, yes? And it's just got to be. The startup business, you know, you've got a new child at home, just things happen, and that is the season you're in. And so all of life kind of works in more of a seasonal fashion than a balanced fashion. You know, you have dry seasons, you have wet seasons, you know, but a combination of them give you your rhythm of life. And so we talked through that series, and I want to talk to you today about the rhythm between two aspects of life that I think keeps us very, very healthy. The first one is courage. The second one is vulnerability. And to be able to have those in rhythm and understand them, I think, is part of the secret of us living life fully engaged and living life fully, basically. So let's start off with the courage. Let's look what Joshua writes in Joshua 1:6. Read the first few words with me, if you will. "Be strong and what? Good courage. For to this people I shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." Verse 7, read it with me, the first part. "Only be strong and what? Very courageous. that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the left or to the right to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night and observe to do according to all this written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you to be and good courage? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God, He is with you wherever you go. Winston Churchill said, without courage, all other virtues just lose their meaning. Cervantes writes, he who loses wealth lost much. He who loses a friend lost more. But he who loses courage, they've lost it all. Colonel John Henry Newman said, fear not that your life may, that your life shall come to an end, but rather fear that it never had a beginning. Why? Because of the courage it takes to live. In her book on vulnerability, Brené Brown writes that courage is from the Latin word cur, which means to be, is the word for heart. And so originally, courage was telling the story, now listen, telling the story of who you are with your whole heart. In other words, living life wholeheartedly. The opposite of that seems to me to be something like, instead of wholehearted, we shrink back. Has anybody here ever been embarrassed or something and you felt yourself backing up inside? Or have you ever been around somebody and for whatever reason, maybe they tried or didn't try, but you ended up feeling smaller? It's like, I think it's a plot of the enemy always to reduce our full size of wholeheartedness. See, I remember when the children of Israel, when they were getting ready to go into the promised land and sent spies out. If you remember, they came back and what they said was this, they are giants, they're big, and we are what? Small. I think that's the opposite of courage. I think that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to feel like the weight of our person is not good enough. It's like somehow that we don't have what it takes. Somehow, if we are not smart or good or some, we are diminished in our size. I remember years ago, the one reason I know it's a strategy of the enemy so much is years ago, I remember walking down this hall over here and felt like almost something just punched me in my stomach as the enemy would come against me. And I felt that push to drive me back up inside of myself and be smaller. And it was just a season where I had to go through a battle. And thank God we won. But I think that's the attack of the enemy. Anybody in here, the enemy ever tries to make you feel smaller? Anybody? Does he push back inside just to get you not to live your full weighted life of courage and give the world the person God made? Wholeheartedly live. You are divinely orchestrated by God, made by Him to live an expression of His image through you, which nobody else can do. You're the only one that has that stamp. So let me ask you a question. How wholeheartedly are you living? How wholeheartedly engaged are you? How alive are you? Because that's part of the battle, to have the courage to do that. One of the books that I've enjoyed reading has been a book called SEAL Team 6. Of course, it's unusual that men would like books like that. SEAL Team 6 is where they take the SEAL team and then take the elite of the elite and make another team out of them, and they're the SEAL Team 6. And this guy writes about his last day before he had made it through that first initial camp. They take him out before dawn, and they start working him. And it's off the California coast. And they start working him. They start doing exercising, carrying logs, boating. And the water temperature is such, until they monitor it, to keep them just 1 degree above the hypothermia where they would freeze, begin to freeze. They're right at the border, and they work them tirelessly. Now it's midnight. And at midnight, they tell them to take their clothes off, totally exhausted, get on a metal dock. And he says, when our body hit that dock, it's like a whole body began to shake, it's like a worm. Just uncontrollably begin to shake. Then they backed an ambulance-looking thing up, opened the doors, and they had just tons of hot coffee and cocoa. They had warm blankets. And then they got out, some of these men, and they said to them, quit. You don't need to do this. Just go right over there. Ring the bell. Get you a cup of coffee. Put a warm blanket around you. And this guy telling the story said, he said, I knew the drill. I knew they were trying to break us from the beginning. I was already a SEAL, so I knew the drill. But now at this level. And he said, and I was there shaking uncontrollably. And he said, and all of a sudden, it's like I dropped down into me. And I became fully resolved. It was like everything went away and I got calm. As courage arose inside of me. He said, I looked back at that man, and in such a calm voice, him there screaming at me, I looked back at him and said, I may die, but I'll never quit. And he said, I would have died right there. It was done. That resolve to fully come to a place where the full weight of who you are is played out on the playing field of life. I think that's probably where David was. Remember the young boy, David, teenage boy, came down, and all the children, all the army of Israel were backs against the wall, and they were paralyzed with fear because this giant would come out and taunt them. And then everybody would go, send somebody to fight me, and nobody would ever go. He would do it twice a day, come out in the afternoon. And David steps into that situation. Now, young teenage boy, but he was all there. He was fully alive and fully engaged. And he saw what was happening. And he asked this question, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now, friends, listen to me, every one of you. There's a cause that's at play in life that God needs to use you for. There is something that God needs your weight to be thrown around, your weight to be involved, something that only you can do. One person, David, the whole army of Israel, totally paralyzed until one guy gripped with courage instead of fear. You can live the rest of your life in fear, or you can live it in courage. And he stepped up. And the Bible says, he says, this day, I just love that story. It's always been one of my favorite stories. He said, this day, I'm going to take your head off. And you know what? He did. And you know what's funny about that story? He said that ahead of time. Then when he cuts his head off, I know this is a guy thing. You women are sitting there going, Lord knows. But I'm even God. You know, this is a God thing. He took his head home with him. Hung it up in his, like a deer. You know, just put it on the wall. You're my trophy. Goliath's head on the wall. Hey, like that, sweetheart. Don't think it goes with the decor. Everybody listen up. Takes a lot of courage to be you. Oh, it doesn't take much to be like everybody else. But it takes a lot of courage for you to be truly you. To live out of the center of who you are. I mean, it's kind of like when we started Cathedral. I thought it was so strange at the time when the Lord spoke to me and he said, now I've served in three different denominations and served under three different pastors. And now, the Lord spoke to me and said, now you're ready to do what I've called you to do. Which ended up being Cathedral. But then he said to me, don't recreate any place you've been. Now, I thought if you go work for a place, don't you go to work so you learn to do it so you can do it again? But I've learned all this stuff, and he says, don't you recreate. He said, if you will keep your hands off of this, I will build my church. And friends, as we do y'all know, we got September 13th. This year, we will be 29 years old. September the 13th, 29 years. And as I look back over on study break, and I always do this, as I look back on the study break and just ask questions about how that vision developed and how it unfolded and how God breathed life into it and how we kept it with our hands off of it but close enough, and just that delicate balance to say, God, this is your church. And I remember a passage when I just went through when I was on my break, where Paul is with the Ephesians elders, and he's getting ready to leave them. And he's looking back, and he's saying things like, I served you with humility. And looking back, he said, and I told you the truth. And we preached the gospel, and the truth reigned. And I just went through that list, and I started thinking, just thanking God. I said, God, thank you that in our history, I'm glad you never had to serve under a heavy-handed pastor. A heavy-handed leader. I don't know if anybody ever been in places like that or not, but I'm just so glad you've never had to experience that. I'm so glad that for 29 years that we still tell the truth that God Almighty loves people, period, and he died for everybody, period. But if you don't open your heart and receive Christ, and if you're not born again, friends, then eternity is going to be a tough place for you, because the only way salvation happens is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I just, 29 years of just saying it, 29 years of saying lost people matter to God. Let's create a safe place where people can come and can sit and not feel judged. You know, they don't have to agree with everything and be on board to be accepted and to be loved. For all these years, to watch people who are far from God be around loving people. And then for them to say that they're connected with a God, that must be a God that I can trust. That they convey such love. And thank you again for being such a congregation like that. But next year will be our 30th, and so I think we ought to throw a big celebration next year. What do you think?
Yes.
30 years. All right. Now, let me crest this thing quickly. Courage, it takes a lot of courage to be you. It takes a lot of courage to fully be inflated to who you are. Different than everybody else, but that's okay. You know, you are made different. One of the plagues of our society today is the uniqueness of God found in individuals is not celebrated. There's such a herd mentality, such that everybody's on the same board doing the same thing until sometimes you want to stop and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Who are you? Be you. Step out of the herd. March to a different drummer. Let God, who made you, fully inflate who you are. Be that. But on the other side of that, this is verse 17 when David has this great victory. In chapter 18, Saul starts. And for the rest of that is persecution from David. Then, of course, you know his life with Bathsheba. So 17, but 18 happens. 1 Samuel 34 said, and David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no more strength in them to weep. Anybody ever been there? Huh? Yeah. That's the other side. The courage, not only to be friends, but the courage to hurt deeply. And that is so incredibly important. Mike, I don't understand. Well, you got rhythms. And when you have courage and God's using, everything's going great, that's one thing. But when pain comes, Friends, success in navigating those waters is equally as challenging and demands as much, if not more, courage to hurt properly, to mourn properly. I mean, Elijah, the great prophet, do you know in chapter 17 and 18, he was courageous as the Navy SEALs were. I mean, he had his sword out warring for God. He was calling fire down from God. But then in chapter 19, finds himself hiding and running for his life. Peter had a great run in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And then in chapter 18, he denies the Lord. What happens so often is when you take a hit like that, divorce happens. Something unexpected happens. And you feel that pain that's inside and you weep. The courage to weep. The courage to say it hurts. The courage to be authentic. Friends, that's what causes you to go through something. We're on the other side of it. It doesn't diminish you. It really makes you live fuller and richer. It's what Brené calls vulnerability. And it's what happens when we choose not to build stuff around us and to think we can stop the hurting by capping it off. There's two things I see in the story of David that struck me when I was studying it that is right at this critical mark. And that is every time when the pain comes or when you start to head out and do something, it's almost like immediately the shame comes. You remember I told you the story about David when he got there and showed up in Goliath and all that stuff? Did you know he had three brothers there? And do you know his three brothers, when he showed up and said, let me try this, his brother said, David, why are you here? What have you done with those little sheep you watch? How many times have you ever said, I think I want to be fully me or be me or start something or try something, and somebody shows up and says, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? How many of you have that voice in your head? Because right connected with this thing, friends, is this thing of shame that tries its best to derail you. Are you going to do something? You're not smart enough. You don't look good enough. You're not educated enough. How many voices like that do you hear that you have at that moment to do exactly what David did? He heard it, but he carried on through with it. The second thing I thought was interesting about the story in regard to this, when he gets to this vulnerable place here, is that, you remember, Saul said, okay, you can try it, but put on my armor. So he puts on Saul's armor. And then he walks and he says, I can't do this. I got to be free. I got to be me. I'm a boy with a slingshot. That's how God uses me. And if God's going to use me, I cannot put all this stuff on. Time out. Sometimes instead of hurting, we'll just put some armor on. And we think the armor is going to protect us from the hurting, friends. And it doesn't. It just masks it and causes it to go underground. The only way to get through something is to be authentic with what you feel and what's going on. And let God come and heal and restore. Do whatever He needs to do. Because here's the deal. If you have a tank where your life flow comes from, where your courage to live full wholeheartedly, where that comes out, That's also where your hurt and pain and vulnerability is. If you close one off, you close them all off. You cannot selectively close one off and say, I want this feeling, but I don't want that one. And so many people will do other things or try to skirt around it and try to do something to numb it. And they'll shop here or buy this or overspend or think this is going to solve it. Instead of sitting down and saying, sweetheart, I'm hurting terribly inside. I think we got something we need to work on. Instead of honestly engaging, they numb it by taking some other routes. And it doesn't have to be, it can be just that your heart starts getting hard. Quick story. Jesus is in the synagogue. You remember the story, the man had a withered hand in the synagogue? I think he was set up personally, because I think that they put the man there and they knew that Jesus' compassion would go out for that man and Jesus was going to heal him, and it was on the Sabbath, and then they're going to have him. I think it was a setup. That's just me. But Jesus looks down, sure enough, and he has this man who has a withered hand. And Jesus, his compassion rose. But the Bible said an interesting thing. It said he looked around in the synagogue people, the religious people of that day, and Jesus said these words. Their hearts were so hard. So sometimes, friends, people think it's easier to close off their heart and let it harden up a little bit, thinking that it's not going to hurt as deeply, and they don't realize that closing one valve and trying to self-protect and put on armor closes off the other valve where life flows in and you live full-hearted. You know, you're really engaged and you just can't do it. Now, real quickly, you can choose to blame too if you want to try that one. That one doesn't work either. Now, blame is simply a way of discharging pain and discomfort, just trying to get rid of it. So, let me give you a couple things as we leave from Brené's book on vulnerability of how to stay open and how to get this balance of this rhythm of courage and living life, the courage for the top for the battles and the courage for the pain. Number one, the courage to stop pretending. Get real. Be honest. Anybody here, you ever have any pain inside on anything? Do you ever get really honest? Do you ever tell anybody I'm hurting? You know, Jesus had such a problem with the religious leaders of that day because they would just pretend. Get real. Secondly, and I know I'm coming off a study break, but friends, sometimes you got to slow down. Sometimes you just got to slow the pace down. Slow down enough to get in touch with you. Slow down enough to figure out what's real. Slow down enough to size up your relationships. Where are we? When's the last time we spent time? I got a great thing from one of the books I shared with you. I read this weekend. You want me to share? Not this weekend, in study break. You want me to share it with you? One good idea? You might like it. You might not. I like it. This guy, I was reading his book, and how many of you had babies and know what skin time is? You know, skin time when you take the babies, you know, and they did a cute little naked self and laid up on your bare chest self, you know, and the bonding happens. One thing I read that I thought was fascinating as I was reading, it says, couples ought to do that. Couples ought to lay together. I know. With no clothes on and non-sexual, doesn't have to stay that way, but start off that way. Lay together, hold each other. Now listen, and just speak wonderful things over each other. Honey, I love you. I just think you're the best thing in the world that's ever happened to me. You know, you just, And so anyway, Deanery likes it, so I don't know if you like it or not, I don't know. I don't know, I'll move on from here, okay. Quickly. How many of you here are perfect? Would you turn to the person next to you and say, I got a secret, I'm not perfect. Why am I saying that? Because you treat yourself as if you should be. You are imperfect and always will be. You've been given a gift by God, and it's a perfect gift of righteousness. And it's not about measuring up. The courage to be imperfect. Now, there's a video that's about to come up on the screen. And what you need to know, and you'll see it in writing, is these two men, they offered encouragement, and they didn't even know it. They were asked to come in and do a video, and then they said, ask about what? They said, well, we can't tell you. And then they asked him a question, and then they responded by the question because they didn't want it to be in any way that they would understand what they wanted to be clean, fresh, and raw. So what you're about to see is two guys, and they had no idea what was coming down the pipe, but they were very courageous.
I think for me, there's been up and down struggles with feeling like I fit or feeling like I belong, or feeling like what I do every day matters. For me personally, that's a very real thing. That's been something that I've had to walk through, journey through, and still am.
And my biggest challenge is self-worth, measuring up with the family environment I came out of, and two broken marriages, and then losing my job at 58. It's a real, real challenge to think that I really do measure up in some areas.
It's a big deal. This is what it says. It says, Ben has been a mentor, friend, and great example to my son. He is filling a huge void in my son's life.
He's always there for our team no matter what. He always puts the needs of others way ahead of his own. He's a true, loyal, and dependable friend. He's a big teddy bear.
Y'all should have told me about this. His love and support has given my son hope. Ben's a great role model and has helped my son get close to God.
Wow. The dad I never had. Father to Cafe.
Because of him, I have renewed my faith in God. My son has been changed in Ben's small group. He is a huge blessing to my children. You just don't get to hear that every day, you know?
He gave me a family, changed my life, and helped me see what Christ is like. I'm shocked. But I gotta tell you something, though. If it wasn't for this place, none of this would even exist. It wouldn't. I mean, the person I was 22 years ago, I walked through those doors, is totally 180 degrees different from what this says.
Just close your eyes just for a moment with you. And just let the Spirit of God minister to you. Now you're quiet before Him. You're slow down in your mind enough to just relax and engage. And just let Him minister to you. Tell you how much He loves you. How when it came time to right the wrong, that He gave the very, very most precious gift He could give so He could buy you back. And that was the blood of His own Son. That's how much He loves you. It has good things for you that He wants to bless you. Wants to heal, restore. Wants you to have the Holy Spirit cause abundant life. We're going to have you guys out of here in just a couple of minutes. So if you would, just let's honor what the Lord's doing right now. And unless you absolutely have to, don't leave. But we're going to only engage in one more song before we go. And what I'd like for you to do is they begin to sing. Just stay seated and just let the Lord minister to you. Just whatever way He needs to. Just let Him minister to you and give you hope. And but at a certain moment when you feel like it's right for you, I'd like for you to respond to this message by, in the middle of that song, whenever again it's right for you, just to stand up. And your standing up is the way you're saying, Lord, I'm going to engage in life in a way that I'm going to trust You. And I'm going to do what Joshua said. I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to live life. And at the same time, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be open to what's going on. And I'm hurting deeply, Lord. I'm going to be very open to You and maybe a few friends about it. Because I want to be fully engaged and fully alive. So whenever you feel like it's right for you to stand, stand. Let's sing together. Lord bless You with just the settledness of His Spirit. Just the sense of grace that's over you. And just a real true sense of what He's doing right now in the moment. Such a tenderness of the Lord towards you. You know, He really cares. He really does. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon you. And I just bless you with a great week. And I want to tell you, I'm delighted to be back. I love you guys a bunch. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.